on the cross crucified, in great sorrow he died. The giver of life was he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected of men. This Jesus of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows and shames, and by his stripes we are healed. Christ for healing was paid, as those cruel stripes were made. Within Pilate's judgment hall, now his suffering affords perfect healing for all. This wonderful healer's mind. Came the leper to Christ, saying, surely I know that thou, Lord, canst make me clean. When his great faith was seen, Jesus said, yes, I will. Then touched him and made him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows and shame, and by his stripes we are healed. He has healed my sick soul, made me every way whole, and he'll do the same for you. He's the same yesterday and today and for age, this healer of men today. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows and shames, and by his stripes we are. Surely he bore our sorrows and shames, and by his stripes we are healed.
Family, and what a blessing to hear about what Jesus Christ did for every single one of us. Amen. And it is a distinct honor and privilege to be able to stand here and preach today. I don't take it lightly. And there are many of you that are here today that I would rather hear than even listen to myself. Amen. But it's a privilege again. Thank you, Brother Angel, and for your hospitality and the opportunity, Brother Coral, as well, to be able to stand here to preach the word of God. A distinct honor for sure. Many of my heroes are in this room today. And a lot of times, I guess you'd say my generation takes a lot of shots, and rightfully so, because of a lot of the stupidity that's part of my generation. But I'm proud to stand with not only physical brothers and but spiritual brothers as well that are taking the mantle and that are trying to do right. I know who I am, and I'm a human, a failure, but I know what Jesus Christ has done for me as well, and I'm proud to be able to be called a Christian. Of course, to be called in the ministry is something that's extremely humbling. Got the privilege to work for Brother Woodward for about 7 years, First Baptist Church in Dwight, and been with Preacher Gomez for the last 10 years, and then transition here's March the 27th. And so I know you've come to hear my great wisdom of pastoring for 23 days. Amen. It drew a crowd today. And what a blessing. I was glad that my wife decided not to play any jokes with me today. And that's a blessing. But I didn't bring my phone either. So she might have had it when I get out of here. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Many of you may not know me, but I was privileged to be born in a home with 10 brothers and sisters, one of 11. And I had great parents. I have a great mom. She's still alive. And I had a father that was saved at 38 years. He was an electrician for the Philadelphia Electric Company. And he would often give his testimony by saying, 38 years I wasted in vanity and pride. And the grace of God that afforded the gospel to go to him and for him to be saved and, of course, impact our family, how unbelievable it is. My dad always had a burden to help those in the ministry. He was never called into the ministry, but I have often said because of his burden, a lot of his children have been called. And parent, you may be here today, and you may not be in the ministry, but no doubt if you're just burdened to do what God's called you to do, your children probably will be called. And it's a distinct honor to be able to preach the word of God today. Go to 1 Timothy chapters 3 today, 1 Timothy chapters 3 in your Bible. And it's a privilege. I can't overstate that enough to be able to preach the word of God anywhere. But often I get asked this question, so what's it like? I get asked the question, how is it? And, you know, the word of God has been around for a long time. There's been faithful men of God that have been around for a long time. And I try not to put more pressure on myself than I need to, because the path has already been paved for what I need to do. And my job is just not to mess it up. Amen. And just follow the path of those that have gone on before. Stick with the word of God. And you don't have to overcomplicate it. The emphasis that God's always given me, just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. And I thank God for a simple God that reaches down and touches simple people. And I'll tell this, 19 years ago this week, God called me to be a pastor. And you might say, you might be a young preacher boy here today. You might say, when's it going to happen in your life? Listen, don't worry about a title. You just do what God's called you to do. And you just stick with that. Don't worry about a title. You'll enjoy everything along the way. And if God will so choose to allow you to be a pastor, then one day you might get a title. But if not, just enjoy it all along the way. Amen. And often there's the inclination today to want to have a title or want to have status. You can have the title and you can have the status. And it's an honor to serve God, to influence people, but it's not about that. Amen. Take your Bibles. If you stand with me this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want to try to get into this today. And if I miss that baby, I'm going to be in trouble. But we're in 1 Timothy chapters 3. In verse number 14, it says this, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles." Amen. Preached unto the Gentiles. What a blessing about that, huh? "Believed on in the world, received up into glory." In our text today, you know, obviously, very familiar portion of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul gives to Timothy the qualifications of a bishop. He gives the qualifications of a deacon. He gives the qualifications for those that are in the ministry and how they should behave. And he gives them this closing remark by simply telling them and saying, "Hey, listen, if I can't come to you, I want you to know how you're supposed to behave." And I thank God for preachers in my life that have told me how I'm supposed to behave. I'm thankful for the Word of God that has taught me how I'm supposed to behave. There are certain things and certain ways in which we should stand and live. But ultimately, our text today is in verse number 15, where he says, not only how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, but I want you to get this, which is the church of the living God. I thank God that it's not like any of the other places that we drove by today, that they don't have they're not the church of the living God. We serve a living Savior. We celebrated that on this past weekend. We celebrate it every day, don't we? That we serve a resurrected Savior. And I thank God for truth and how as long as truth is presented in the house of God, the church of the living God will continue to go on. It's going to go on with or without me. It's going to go on with or without you, because God promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This morning, I just want to preach on the church of the living God. Father, I pray that you'll bless this morning for just a few minutes, Lord, as me and my frailty attempt to present your word and what you've given to us, Lord, the privilege to be part of the church, the privilege to be called a pastor. How humbling that is, Lord. And though just a few days into it, Lord, I pray that for the entirety of what you allow me to do, that I'll do it right, Lord, that I'll do it according to your word, that I'll behave myself wisely, that you'll help those preachers that are here today to just be encouraged. Maybe the older preachers that have been over in the trenches for a long time, to understand that there are those in this generation that follows that do have a desire to please the Lord and to hold on to that mantle and stick with the old path, stick with the Word of God. Maybe the younger preachers that are here today, they're not in full-time service yet, but they have a heart, they have a calling in their life. I pray that you'll help them as well to be encouraged and challenged to stick with the truth, the Word of God. We'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We understand that He is the foundation. He is the head of the church. The reality is today that the small god of this world has turned civilization into a rat race. We not only come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies, but also the onslaught of manipulation from the puppeteers of government, the corporate media, and the evil powers are often bombarding us with insanity today. Truly, there's a reason you should stay away from the news today, because you will lose your sanity. We're told today that you're not supposed to think for yourself. We're told today that let somebody else do the thinking for you. We're told today that education is the answer. We're told today that money is the answer. We're told that knowledge is the answer, or bigger government is the answer. Social justice is the answer. Critical race theory is the answer. Evolution is the answer. Sexual exploration is the answer. Technology is the answer. Social media is the answer. Riots are the answer. Stimulus checks are the answer. Masks used to be the answer. The reality is, I hope we know today, just by reminding us that Jesus Christ is still the answer. And sometimes it can be overstated, but underutilized in every one of our lives, that we just don't really understand who Jesus Christ really is. A lot of times in our lives, if we're not careful, we'll minimize what Jesus Christ is, or we'll minimize the gospel as just being the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is every part of that, and so much the more. Jesus Christ, the foundation, the head of the church. By the way, it's not my church. It's not my church. I heard preachers say it last night. The church is not an ATM machine. And what a blessing to understand that the church is not, it's not to be utilized by me. I'm going to give an account one day for everything that I do. With this great responsibility, I hope we never lose that. I hope I never get away, never get over that reality that I get to stand before God's people and be able to take the Word of God and to be able to preach them. What a privilege. What a privilege to follow in the steps of individuals. And my preachers been there for 40 years and week after week opened the Word of God and preached it without fear or favor of man. The church house used to be the place where we went on Sunday. Amen. I know who I'm talking to today, but the church house used to be a place we went on Sunday, a place to find answers to life's questions. But now we leave with more questions than we do with answers. solid biblical gospel messages would be heard in multiple denominational settings. The altar was always open and used by God's people. I appreciated Brother Coral on Sunday placing an emphasis as he preached for us that the altar is not just there to look at. It's a place to be used by the people of God. An opportunity for me to be reminded that just because I'm maybe the pastor now doesn't mean I don't need a daily altar in my life. The baptism was always filled and ready. The doors were open, not because they had permission. The pulpit meant something. Sunday school had a purpose. It's unbelievable what's happened today in independent fundamental Baptist circles where Sunday school is no longer part of what we used to be. Sunday school, Sunday school, Sunday school. It has a purpose. We're working today to undermine the value of the systematic teaching of the Word of God through every book of this Bible, teaching verse by verse the instruction that is different than the preaching of the Word of God. It's not about coffee and truffles. It's not about a theme park for kids. It's about the Word of God being presented. We still need Sunday school. Greeters, welcome. Pastors married and buried sometimes in the same day. Singers glorified God in life. Singers glorified God in life and in song. Wasn't a performance. We dressed like it was an important place. We behaved like it was an important place. We lived with a hunger to be in that place. May God help me and every one of us to exemplify and lead that kind of church. I just want to give you a couple things this morning on what you should find in the right kind of church. The church of the living God. Number one, you're going to find the Word of God is preached. We know it says in 2 Timothy 4:2 where the challenge is preach the Word. He didn't say philosophize. He didn't say give opinions. It said preach the Word. How important for it is to understand that while I may be an imperfect person, I may be preaching to imperfect people, I've got a job to preach the Word. It's not just in volume. It's in content. It's in study. It's in preparation that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the work that I can't do in my flesh, the Holy Ghost of God can get a hold of something and do something. And what we see week after week, the revival that has happened at Northwest Bible Baptist Church for 40 years of ministry and 3 weeks into a preacher, is the reality of this book just being preached where people have an opportunity for their life to be changed, to come to an old-fashioned altar and to be saved. Preach the Word. It's the perfect Word of God. It's still the King James Bible. The whole council is preached. It's amazing, Brother Angel. You know this as better as anyone. By the way, I can't emphasize enough. To the people of Faith Baptist Church, can I just publicly say thank you? Thank you for sharing, Brother Angel, to Northwest Bible Baptist Church and Providence Baptist College. I know some of you are working today, but I hope if you hear this later, thank you, thank you, thank you. Nothing like the privilege to know 19 years ago sitting in homiletics under Pastor Angel. Thank you, preacher. Thank you for all the preachers and all those that have invested in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you for taking a stand on the Word of God, for teaching us to preach the Word of God from cover to cover. I've been in many pulpits. I get the privilege, when I preach, I get to stand in mostly the places where I get to preach, in a place where the preacher who stands there as the pastor of that ministry preaches the whole counsel, the Word of God. And as I get to stand behind that pulpit and I get to do what God's called me to do. It's so easy to preach in a pulpit where the man of God who is responsible for that pulpit preaches the whole thing. I've also been in pulpits where they don't preach the whole thing. One of the privileges I found out very early at Northwest Bible Baptist Church is when I get to stand behind that pulpit. By the way, preacher, it's not glass yet. It's not plexiglass. Just saying. Give me a couple more weeks. Amen. Hey, listen, you... Lightning's going to strike. Hey, do you understand the privilege? I've been there in certain pulpits so where, man, you start to preach, you start to plow in the Word of God, all of a sudden things start to get tight. You're like, whoa, why am I feeling this kind of resistance on some of the basics of reality? Hey, my job, you're going to find the right church. You're going to be part of the church of the living God. I hope Northwest Bible Baptist Church is always a place where the Word of God is preached. And when you know that you show up, that book's going to be given, amen, from cover to cover. By the way, preaching includes unpopular doctrine. It's always going to include unpopular doctrine. It's amazing every day. It seems like what used to be taken for granted is now becoming more and more unpopular. It's so unpopular. You say in the beginning and people start getting chafed. You can't go very far without people getting upset. And you know why? When we get our theology or we get our doctrine from YouTube, we're definitely going to end up in a ditch. He is still the creator. Listen, you talk about the Trinity today. People can't accept that the name of God is even offensive today. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the virgin birth and baptism, scriptural baptism today. We got this hodgepodge nonsense today where we got people baptizing. You've got kinfolks, dads and moms baptizing their kids. All kind of crazy stuff creeping in the church today. Angels, the Holy Spirit, the church, man, sin and salvation by repentance and faith, the tribulation, the premillennial rapture, the millennial reign of Christ, the new heaven and the earth, new earth. All of that you present today, it's not very popular. It's just not popular today. Well, you know, I feel like it. No, it's not what we feel. It's by faith what God, the Word of God says. Not only that is the preaching the Word, but it's going to be up by unpopular preachers. They're not running for office. My preachers and all the preachers I've had in my life have always said, you're not running for office. Stop worrying about nickels and noses. Preach the Word. Running for obedience. I'm not running for office. I think about Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 37 where he's preaching to the valley of dry bones. And he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. He tells those dead bones to hear. What's my job? To stand in the pulpit and preach to dry bones. And to say, hear. Man, what a privilege. It's not always going to be popular, though. It's not an unpopular doctrine, but by unpopular preachers. You know, politicians will lie for a vote. Jesus Christ died regardless of our vote. And I'm supposed to preach regardless of the vote as well. Enoch preached that the Lord was coming to judge. He wasn't popular. Noah, preacher of righteousness, he wasn't popular. Moses, let my people go. He wasn't popular, but he stayed faithful. Nathan, when he pointed his bony finger in the face of David and telling him that he was the man, that wasn't popular. Micaiah, telling the prophets, of Jehoshaphat's prophets, that they're a bunch of false prophets. That wasn't popular. John the Baptist telling him that was the repent. That wasn't popular. But he still preached the Word. Peter and John preaching that there was no other name. That's not popular. Paul, when he preached that Israel had been rejected because he came unto his own and his own received him, not, that wasn't popular. Thank God for unpopular preachers. Thank God for preachers who aren't afraid of negative reviews on Google. We're afraid of negative reviews on Yelp. As a matter of fact, a few months ago, we had a lady walk in our church, and she's a good lady. She's from China, and she walked in our church, and she had been there for just a little bit, and she told one of our good church ladies that same Sunday, she's like, yeah, I'm a new believer. Now, for you and I, when we hear I'm a new believer, we get excited about that. We would assume that she trusted Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. That wasn't the case because she came from China. She had just got to the point where she believed that there was a God. And on that Sunday, an unpopular preacher, amen, stood in the pulpit and he preached the gospel, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And by the way, her children have gotten saved. Her husband's heard the gospel. Her children are now bringing visitors. We're in the fourth, fifth week of our program. She's had an entire pew filled with people because the unpopular preacher preached the Word of God. By the way, how'd she end up at Northwest Bible Baptist Church? Well, she saw the negative reviews and said, hey, they don't make me wear a mask. I'm going to come to that place. Amen. Unpopular. A lady walked in our church. What a blessing. A family just joined our church. People, not preacher, not that long ago. They joined our church. They've been watching for 6 months. They've been watching live stream. I found out later that for years and years and years, faithful soul winners of Northwest Bible Baptist Church had left gospel tracts and had left flyers on their door, and they'd seen it. And they came from all sorts of Buddhism, two different religions that they believed in. And after time and time of hearing that, and an unpopular preacher about 6 months ago or more stood in the pulpit from Northwest Bible Baptist Church and preached the gospel. And that lady got on the side of her couch at the end of that back in September to ask Jesus Christ to come in her heart and to save her. Dr. Smith, that was you preaching in our pulpit. You didn't know it. 6 months ago, the whole family come and join the church, bringing visitors to church. Unpopular preachers preach the word. By the way, it's not just going to be unpopular doctrine, unpopular preachers. It's going to be unpopular topics as well. It's going to be unpopular. There's going to be topics that need to be dealt with today. They're not politically correct. I may sign my name PC, but I don't want to be politically correct. Weak-minded has-beens cry legalism when they can't defend their compromise. Just because the religious crowd has mastered spiritualizing carnality does not mean that it works. Dress still matters. Identity still matters. Doth not nature even teach us? Unpopular topics. In the age of gender dysphoria and all the terminologies that you can't even make up, you can't even stay up with them. Just preach the word. There's going to be unpopular topics. The fact, the reality today, we have to talk about what we're supposed to do if a he comes in, is acting like a she, and wants to use the wrong bathroom. The insanity of the day. Let's just keep on preaching unpopular topics. Modesty still matters. Morals still matter. Conduct still matters. Marriage still matters. Fatherless homes still matter. They matter. They need to be preached about. Not just fatherless homes, but the lack of standing up. Children, not government property. By the way, purity still matters. Purity still matters. I'm going to miss preaching to the preacher boys today, but this afternoon. But if I could tell some of you preacher boys something this, that I had preachers in my life that emphasized purity, 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 purity. And you will learn one day, if you haven't already, that purity in your life equals freedom. And that freedom equals power in your life. You need purity. You need holiness in your life. You don't have to go along with the crowd. You don't have to have it just because everybody else has it. You can take a stand for truth. It may not be popular. Be unpopular. Don't be afraid of that. Well, it's hard. No, it's not hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. You're bumming mom and dad for devices and activities that are only going to cause you to compromise. You're begging mom and dad and pushing the youth pastor and the pastor to be involved in things that are only going to hurt your potential one day. Hey, listen, it's not popular. My daughter came in the other day. Can you believe this? She said, Dad, I need a cell phone. No, excuse me. She said, Dad, I want a cell phone. Man, alive, teenagers. I said, you need it? That was the end of that conversation. It's not popular. Boneheaded parents today still need a preacher that have our dry bones that are saying, hey, hear me. You don't need to give your kids a loaded gun. You don't need to give them that technology. They can't handle it. By the way, most preachers today can't handle it. I'll say that again. Most preachers today can't handle it. We can't handle it. We can't trust this flesh. Not popular today, is it? It's not popular. Purity still matters to marriage. By the way, monogamy after marriage still matters. The right church will preach and teach the word of God. Let me give you number two this morning. The Son of God, not only is the word of God preached, but the Son of God is preeminent. There should be no mistake. I don't want there ever be a mistake that the Son of God is preeminent. It's not about a man. It's not about me. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You know, there's going to be times in all of our lives that if he's going to have the preeminence, we're going to have to die to ourselves. If he's going to have the preeminence, we're going to have to understand that superiority and excellence, that distinction. And that's a privilege today to have the church of the living God with a distinction that we have a resurrected Savior. So often today, everything about the narrative is to try to get people who actually believe that book to shut up. But the reality is, no, we're not going to shut up. We got the Word of God. We're part of the Church of the Living God. I serve a resurrected Savior. Man, in the Son of God, He is preeminent. People walk into our churches, they should know, man, there's something different about this church. It's not about standing on the platform and strutting ourselves and trying to promote some emotional feeling that, oh, it feels good. No, it's that in all things He may have the preeminence. That's a superiority and distinction that Jesus Christ is all in all and that He's all I need. Jesus is before all things. Colossians 1 tells us that. Jesus created all things. John 1 tells us that. He holds all things. He's the heir of all things, for whom all things are, by whom are all things. Jesus Christ might fill all things. And then you ask yourself, where'd all that stuff come from? Where'd all those all things come from? John 3 tells us, doesn't it? The Father loveth the Son. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. The right church points on to the very Son of God. Not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Not works, not baptism, not communion, not self-righteousness. Jesus Christ, He's all in all. The Son of God is preeminent. Not only that, but the Spirit of God is present. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. When's the last time you missed that the Holy Spirit didn't show up? I can remember after I got the assurance of my salvation, I sat through the next invitation. I almost missed what I felt the previous invitation. But I don't ever want to get to the place where we can go through any service where I don't say, dear God, why didn't you do more? Was it because of me? The church of the living God is going to be a place where the Spirit of God is present. John tells us in Revelation chapter 1, he said, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heard and behold a voice, a great voice, as a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The right kind of church doesn't need to drum up the Holy Spirit. Doesn't need to repeat up the Holy Spirit, manipulate up the Holy Spirit, distort the work of the Holy Spirit, even smoke weed to see the Holy Spirit. That's where we are today. All kind of crazy gimmicks. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. To think that the third member of the Godhead indwells in me. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How many days have I woken up and done what I wanted to do in my life and forgot that God was in me? I'm carrying God. The temple of the living God, the Spirit of God. And if I'm going to have be the right kind of person, have the right kind of church, I'm going to have to make sure that the Spirit of God feels welcome. Give them an invitation where we work hard, emptied of self, trying not to grieve the Spirit of God. By the way, that's not popular today. Preaching the power of the Holy Spirit, where we're willing to cleanse ourselves. You know, when the people are read up and prayed up and confessed up and the preacher's read up and prayed up and confessed up, God's going to do something. You think about David in Psalm 41 after he committed sin with Bathsheba. He says this phrase two times in there. And the Lord's been beating me up with this lately where he said, wash me. Wash me. Wash me. It wasn't just, dear God, forgive me. It wasn't just a cheap, God, I'm sorry. It was, dear God, wash me. The distinction of being washed, not just from our sin, also the iniquity, something different that is beyond just the sin, the habitation of that sin in my life, where David had got to the place, and because he was not washed from the little stuff, the iniquity took root in his heart, where he got to the place where he was able to commit sin with Bathsheba and murder and on because of the consequences of that. I don't want that to happen in my life. Dear God, if I need to wash it, how many times have we dealt with people in sin? Sometimes as a participant, sometimes as a negligence or forceful sexual sins. And they'll often say this, I got a shower, I just wanted to get it off of me. And often that's what sin is, we just want to get it off us. But I wonder how many days where because it's not a real big sin in our life, we don't approach God. We don't approach the throne room of God saying, dear God, I need to be washed today. Oh God, would you wash me? And how those big sins happen, I believe in all of our lives, is when we stop trying to be washed. We stop asking God to wash us. The wind bloweth where he listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, dear God. May we have the environment where the Spirit of God is present. An environment, it's not easy. It's not an easy environment. Oh, we can have the lights and we can have all the beautiful auditoriums and we can do all the with the building part of it. But it's the temple of God where it's an environment where we work Monday through Saturday, where on Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit feels that he can blow it. He can blow in, blow up, blow out, however he chooses. But I want to work every day of my life to create that environment. And that's hard to do in today's age, isn't it? You can't drive on the interstate without seeing something you shouldn't see. You can't go anywhere without hearing things that you shouldn't hear. It's all over today. So what do we do? Well, answer to that, dear God, wash me. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. What a privilege that God, if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness above and beyond what we can even ask. Amen. Just by displaying the humility that I need to be washed, not only in salvation, the blood of the Lamb, but I need to be washed for restitution in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. May we have that kind of spirit in our Christian life. The Spirit of God is present. Acts 2, you know this. Then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. To know that that's where God wants us. To know that that's possible. I grew up in a family, we played a lot of sports. Bloody sports. And that wasn't even on a ball field, that was before you got out the front door, amen? But I'm telling you, we have a responsibility today. To work the unity, the one accord. We get a little nervous with quietness, don't we? But when it happens, there's no mistaking it. Where I was going a minute ago, I lost my thought, was growing up playing sports. One of them, we like to play golf every once in a while. I got a mm-hmm on that. Just one. But you know what keeps you coming, especially for that sport? You know what keeps you coming back? Is that you're no good at it. You're really not. But you'll make one good shot. And it'll keep you coming back. You'll line that and you'll hit that ball 300 plus yards. And you say, why can't I do that every time? How much more the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, where we're willing to say, hey, listen, I want the presence of God. Often I think we take that for granted in our life. The right church, the right people will know the Holy Spirit's presence and will work to create or facilitate the environment where he's welcome. This last point, the people of God are passionate. The people of God are passionate. One of the most humbling things I think that any gospel preacher gets to do is to open the Word of God and simply preach Jesus Christ. It's not difficult. You know what was difficult, Brother Coral? Was all the work that went into what God blessed on a Sunday morning. You know why that happened? Because the people of God are passionate. And they're not going to be passionate if they don't have a preacher that's passionate about the gospel. One of the things about Dr. Smith I've always appreciated, Brother Smith, is that you never lost your passion for Jesus Christ. No matter when you preach, you're always going to hear Jesus Christ in the message. And that's trickled down, hasn't it? It's trickled down to Preacher Gomez, and I hope it trickles down in my ministry in the future that no matter what the message is, it always comes back to Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, then the people of God are going to be passionate. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, passionate for unity, passionate in prayer, passionate for the lost, passionate for the next generation, passionate about truth, passionate about influence, passionate for Christ, unashamed. Unashamed of Jesus Christ. Unashamed. My wife was backing out. We had a gentleman that we got to lead to the Lord. His family and extended family were coming, and one of his it all started from RU, by the way. All started from RU. A son getting help from an addiction on a Friday night. Amen. We need those kind of ministries. You know, we could talk about the drug addicts. We can talk about the transgender folk and all this dysphoria. But the reality is, who's going to pick up the pieces when the casualties of all this nonsense? They're going to be there. They're going to be looking for truth. We may not be able to identify them as male or female, but they're going to be looking for something after the damage has been done. And I hope we help them. Amen. I hope we help them. They need to be helped. Are you drugs and the world and all the promiscuity, all that's going on? They got help. But this poor man, they put him on a ventilator. This guy, he got saved. And it wasn't 100 and something days later where he died. He died. It was a Thursday night. We were about to go preach the funeral. It was about 10 minutes to the funeral. My wife was backing out of the driveway. And she came out of the driveway. She saw a car coming and she stopped. And she thought it went by. So she backed into the car. Sorry, baby, I'm telling your sins. But she got out of the car, and the guy was in the passenger seat. That should tell you enough that you need to know right there. And the wife gets out, and she's looking at the damage. It wasn't bad. It was a little fender bender there. But he starts cussing. JC and OMG starts taking all the Lord's name in vain. My wife looked at him and said, "Sir, we'll fix this, but I don't need you talking about my Jesus like that." He never said a word again. Amen. Unashamed of Jesus Christ, where the people of God are passionate about it. People of God and the Church of the Living God, they're going to be passionate about Jesus Christ. We need it. By the way, you'll never, but she would have never done that if her entertainment is laced with taking the Lord's name in vain. She would never done it because that's her form of entertainment. And by the way, isn't it funny that you got a bunch of perverts that are Jews in Hollywood presenting all the stuff that's undermining the message that we claim to take a stand for? You can't watch that idiot box today. You can't watch anything that they're producing today without them trying to undermine our message. You're not going to be passionate about Jesus Christ if you're filling your life with that kind of filth and sick. You're never going to say, "Hey, you do whatever you want to do. Leave my Jesus out of it." We need a people that are passionate for the right kind of church. Let's just keep on being that kind of church. Let's just keep on being that kind of church. Let's get back to being that kind of church. Hey, Paul to Timothy, you say, "Hey, I may not be able to come to you. I want to, but I gave you this instruction. I've given you these qualifications. I've told you how you're supposed to behave. And if I don't show up, you know what to do. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Just keep on preaching. Thank God for every one of you preachers that have been preaching for longer than I've been alive. But to every one of us, younger preachers and those that are coming even behind us today, may God help us to be part of the Church of the Living God. And as truth is marching on, it's not going to fall in the streets. Truth is falling in the streets. But as long as we keep heralding this book right here, truth will match on. Truth will march on. Truth will stand up. The pillar and ground of truth. The house of God. Let's just keep on keeping on. Amen.
That ought to make you smile and be happy. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, man. You know, I was sitting there thinking, and I was listening to the preaching. I was enjoying it. In fact, I learned why I don't play golf. I've never had one good shot, ever. Not one. But if you allow me this liberty, I'm listening to this, and the passion. I'm remembering back last year to Richard Way and Caleb Hansen in this conference. How old are you, Brother Caleb? Where's Richard? How old, Richard? 39, 41. It's not as bad as you think it is. The future looks good. And there are others in this room that believe that same way. Everybody preaches their own way that God's made them, their own personality. God has no clones in ministry. No clone. You can't try to be somebody you're not. But it's that passion. It's that belief. It's that unashamed. It's that boldness. It's the Holy Ghost is what it is. Man, to see God use these men, it just thrills me. I don't know what it does to you, but it thrills me. It just thrills my heart. Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Kavanaugh. Get out of here. Leave the microphone. Thank you, brother. Amen. We're getting him out of here because somebody's going to stop him. Okay. And hey, thank you for coming, preacher. Thank you very much. I appreciate you making the trip. And Ms. Kavanaugh, thank you for hanging in there. Amen. We appreciate you cooperating with the program here. Amen. All right. Very good. Let's stand. Let's have a break. You hear the music. Let's do about 8-9 minutes. And about 5 after, we'll start the music. Come on back in. All right. There's bathrooms across the parking lot if you need them. These two here. Shake somebody's hand, and we'll see you in just a few minutes.